I do think, though, that sometimes risky feels like the answer because it feels fun or daring or desperate even. Like, okay, things are bad. Let's go crazy and go viral and try to win people back.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, a quick recap of the email we discussed last week that we'll be digging into today. Please get them anything but us. We appreciate the love, but Rev isn't for everybody. This holiday season, there are going to be a lot of companies emailing you to try to sell you on the idea that their product makes for an ideal gift. Just today, a cure for boldness that we refuse to name, cold emailed us with the subject line, "We wish you a Hairy Christmas." Enough is enough. We're not here to do that. We're a transcript / caption company, people. We're just not a great gift. As you probably know, your kids will not be waiting up all night for Santa to leave them a perfectly accurate SRT file. Your in-laws? Get them a day at a hot mud spa. Or an inflatable kayak, maybe some sort of themed popcorn. They just won't appreciate our time-stamped transcript editor or the fact that we offer a rush option. Even though we know you love Rev, please understand that we really aren't a holiday gift type company. We're absolutely amazing at captions and transcripts, true. We provide value somewhere in the 15 times to 20 time range, but the people want other stuff. They just do. As for you, well, of course we got you a few little somethings. Happy holidays, your friends at Rev.
I've been a huge fan of Nick's work since getting this first Creative Rev email, but I have to say that I am even more impressed now that I got a peek behind his creative process. Actually, after I interviewed him for Email Swipes, I asked him if he'd do a masterclass for email mastery, and happily, he agreed. He has such a fabulous process for creativity. It's an amazing resource. I wasn't surprised when he mentioned he's a teacher. There's a certain clarity of process you need to attain before you can accurately teach something. I remember back in college, we had a few textbooks that taught creativity and idea creation. And when I saw the book list, I was like, huh? You can teach creativity? Isn't it just magic? A gift? And I think this is a huge misconception about humor and creativity and fun in marketing, that creativity just comes. Thankfully, I was schooled early on while I was in, well, school, because my goodness, it is stressful to be in a role where you have to be creative on demand and just hope that your magic will always work. So takeaway number one, if you do creativity on the fly, there is hope. There are so many resources, so many classes, so many books, even just conversations with other creatives. You owe it to your stress levels to develop a concrete creative process. All right, now let's talk about the email. I was really impressed with the Rev CEO, that he was willing to take a risk as the response to some seriously bad PR. It takes a lot of guts, but he agreed. Obviously, they were smart about the risk and only sent it to a small sample, but still, there are a lot of brands out there who are ever protective of their lists, for good reason, and that prevents opportunity. Safe doesn't get you far. I do think, though, that sometimes risky feels like the answer, because it feels fun or daring or desperate even. Like, okay, things are bad. Let's go crazy and go viral and try to win people back. And I think there were two things that show that this was not the case.
If you love email swipes, you will love my playbooks. They are chock full of inspiration with dozens of examples, color-coded breakdowns, and all the whys and hows and wheres and whats of all the different e-com flows. Even better, they're affordable. One anonymous copywriter said, "In a world full of $1,000 and $2,000 copywriting courses, being able to learn a sequence for $52 is amazing. By the way, you can learn them for even less if you get the whole bundle." Another piece of feedback that I loved: I purchased the Welcome Sequence Playback and loved it. It's an easy, flowing read, and following it is a breeze. I love how it's so actionable. It takes you step by step through the process, but you don't end up with a templated sequence that sounds the same. I also love how you brought in relevant examples to prove the point you were making. I pull it up before every welcome sequence I write. That's a big point of these playbooks, that you don't end up with the same thing every single time, that you understand the strategy. Just like copywriter Paul Melrose says, since using Nikki's playbook, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without the playbooks would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play so you can solve your own or your client's email problems. Big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Thanks, Nikki. But don't think it's all theory. Holly Williams says, had a quick turnaround deadline on an email sequence I hadn't written in a while, but I didn't even sweat it. I pulled up one of Nikki's playbooks and voila, I had a winning sequence in record time. Nikki's playbooks give you the perfect roadmap for using the data you have to craft email sequences that perform well every single time. Thanks, Nikki. I love your playbooks. And one last one, this one from a founder. I put into action the FAQ email and the 12-hour warning email you suggested, along with two other emails and two texts, and I got over $105,000 in revenue in the weekend from the promo. Pretty neat. Never made so many sales via email. Your book helped me save time to get this done. So, whether you want to save time, understand things better, or just get some amazing inspiration, go grab a playbook, or two, or 12, at nikkialbus.com/email-playbooks. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Wish you were in e-com just so that you could grab my playbooks, but you're in SaaS? Don't worry, I got your back with the SaaS Success Pack. Say that 5 times fast. Okay, don't. Just head to the show notes. You'll find the link and grab it there. Okay, back to our show.
The first is that they minimized the risk and only sent the A variation to a small sample. But even more importantly, overhauling the email program and the brand voice was on the back burner. They had been planning to do this for 6 months prior, and the bad PR was only just the impetus to finally get around to it. Clearly, if it was already in the plans, it's not a big risk. So takeaway number two, safe risks are the name of the game. Okay, now onto the email copy itself. These emails have such a depth of relevance, and I think the average layperson sees this email and thinks it's so effective because it's funny. But what is humor? What is so great about humor? I think this is a really important understanding for brands that either really want to be funny or brands that are really conscious of not being funny. I'm no comedian, but humor is depth of relevance. At a base level, all the little meta references and all the irreverence laid the foundation for connection, for a feeling of recognition, of community even. I actually just recently heard an amazing talk by psychiatrist Dr. Eric Fire, and he mentioned how important humor is when working with children. I knew this. Play is a huge way to diffuse basically any scenario with kids. But he took it to a whole nother level. He was talking about how humor is actually essentially validating the other person and their experiences. Humor is about understanding the other person enough to flip it on its head to be funny. So why do we want to be funny in marketing? And how can we generate the same response if we can't be funny? It all ties back to being relevant, to building that human connection. So takeaway number three, the value of being funny in marketing isn't just the likability factor. That's valuable, sure, but it's more about building connection. By the way, obviously there are mechanisms that make things funny, like the benign violation theory that Nick taught us. There does need to be an element of unexpected in order for something to be funny. But this takeaway is more about understanding the goal of being funny so that we can properly assess whether a specific funny thing works in our email. It may be legitimately funny. It may make the audience LOL, but we also need to make sure it builds the relationship. Personally, I think this is Nick's secret sauce. He knows exactly how to be funny, but also really charming, so you're never insulted, even when he's poking fun at you. Something that I noticed when listening to Nick, there's kind of this trifecta of email perfection when working with a team. The PMM gives him the data he needed to get deep into the reader's shoes. That's the before. Then he wrote the email. After, he was supported and aided by social when they pushed the email outside the inbox. I have no idea what you should do with this little bit of info. I don't even want to give it a takeaway number, especially since in episode 3, the social media manager was actually in the before stage. He was the one who suggested the idea of a love letter email. But it's amusing, and maybe it will help you with your email writing process. Okay, this last takeaway is for my freelancers that are listening. The story about the job offer was funny. It was really funny. But it also highlights something really important. Taking risks is really hard for most companies. They may understand its importance to the point that they hire someone to overhaul the email program. but they will still drag their feet. It took Rev 6 months and a crazy PR story for Nick to get permission to take some risks. So takeaway number 4, yes, our job is to educate our clients and help them see that risk-taking is how you experiment and test theories, but it's also our job to be understanding and patient when clients are hesitant. I'm surprised there are only 4 takeaways to this email, but I think it's because we dug into so much of what made the email so awesome in the actual episode itself. So if you feel like you want to dig in further, take another listen. Sometimes you hear things that you didn't hear the first time around. Thanks for listening, and if you're not on the Email Master waitlist and you want to hear Nick's masterclass on creativity, the link is in the show notes. Thanks for geeking out with me about that email story. If you enjoyed either of these episodes, you'll probably enjoy getting my emails. Plus, you'll never miss another episode. Sign up at nikkialbus.com/subscribe. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Up next on Email Swipes.
I mean, the truth is, I'm still terrified. It wasn't that it went away and then I did it. And it wasn't that I felt sure and then I hit send. It was, let me see if this is the right way to flex this muscle.